Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
I want to tell you a little bit about the journey that we've been on as a church for the last several months now. It started back in November of last year, where we decided we wanted to go deeper in our gratitude. And, you know, November, you celebrate Thanksgiving, but we wanted our thankfulness to go beyond Thanksgiving. And so we decided to make our theme for 2022 grateful, so it can be on our minds and our hearts throughout the whole year. And we started reading this book called 1,000 Gifts by Ann Voskamp, who we now affectionately call Sister Ann. And Sister Ann, in the book, takes us with her on this journey that she went on to name and number 1,000 gifts. 1,000 things she was grateful for on a day-to-day basis. She would write these things down, and she challenged us to do the same. And I'm going to share with you some of mine, because now I'm in the 600, you know, gifts now. But it was all types of stuff, all types of gifts, all types of things that we can be grateful for, right? And so little things like number 555. Going to our first Atlanta Hawks game as a family. Or material things like number 635, having clothes to give away. Or even spiritual things, you know, like for me, number 669, connecting with the love, power, and magnitude of Christ as I watch the Chosen series. So what started happening is that I started to see life differently, not as a series of problems to solve or even disappointments to recover from or obstacles to overcome. No, I started seeing life for what it truly is, a gift from God. Actually, a series of gifts from God. So many gifts that even when I tried to count them, I would fall short. And this really intensified when I realized that if Romans 8:28 is true, that truly all things work together for the good of those who love God, then all things are gifts. All things, whether they feel good or whether they feel bad, whether they bring me pleasure or bring me pain, all things are meaningful and thoughtful presents from my Father. Presents like problems or disappointments or challenges, all of it, gifts for my good. Now, along the way, I started saying a certain phrase, these three words that started describing my experiences and my situations more and more. And this phrase was simply better than expected. So somebody would ask, so how was your holiday break? You know, better than expected. Or, hey, how'd your meeting go with so-and-so? It was better than expected. Or, you know, how did that situation turn out for you? It was better than expected, because I would remember the feelings I had going into those situations, the fear or the anxiety or feeling like, ah, this may not work out. And then none of the bad stuff came true or wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. And so it was actually better than expected. So that's the title of this message today, Better Than Expected, and the title of our series. For the next 8 weeks, we're going to talk about how God is better than expected, how situations turn out better than expected when we follow Jesus. So I remember the first time that I started using that phrase, and it was over the holiday break. And we had gone as a family to Florida to spend some time on the beach with the people I love. And it was turned out to be COVID Christmas number two for us. And my brother and his family couldn't come anymore because of COVID. So that was disappointing because I really wanted to see them and spend time with them. And then I got COVID for the first time. My mom got COVID for the second time. My other brother, Gabe, he got the flu Rona. So he got COVID and the flu. It was, I mean, he had to go to the hospital and everything. It was just, it was a crazy, crazy time. But we made it through. It was hard and emotionally taxing. But we made it through. We were at the beach and we survived. We survived. And on the last day of the break, I remember going on a prayer walk and thinking, man, the sun, the Florida sun, it feels so good. And this breeze is awesome right now. And I thought, you know, this weather turned out better than expected. So I thank God for that and other gifts that I got from God, even through COVID Christmas number two. And I went inside and I asked my family, hey, what is it before we leave? What is one thing that was better than expected on this trip? I know we went through some hard times, and every single one of my family members had something different, whether it was simple things like the food was better than expected, or the beach was better than expected, the movie we watched was better than expected, whatever it may be. But everybody had something different that was better than expected. So this made me think, and I started trying to figure out what was happening, thinking about this phenomenon that was happening in my heart. And I realized that numbering and naming gifts helped me to focus more on the good than the bad. Point blank, simple, right? I realized that for way too long, I had allowed moments of disappointment to become bigger than moments of gratitude. I was allowing disappointments to live in my heart rent-free. These moments would move in, and before you know it, they started unpacking. They started, you know, they left their toothbrush in the bathroom, and before you know it, they start decorating and then inviting their friends like doubt, who decided they were going to take one of the guest rooms, right? Or despair, who started sleeping on the couch. And I'm like, yo. But little by little, they started getting some guests that they didn't want. Because we know that misery loves company. But as I started to number these gifts and see things as better than expected, gratitude showed up. And they said, hey, I'm here. I like Angel's Heart too. I like this place. I can stay here. And you know what? I'm going to invite my friend Joy and her husband Hope. And they came in and they started making their home in my heart. All of a sudden, this prayer that the Apostle Paul, through the Holy Spirit, wrote down in the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 3, this prayer that I had known about, this prayer started coming to life in my life, coming to life in my heart. And the prayer is found in Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 16. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide and how long, how high and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. And the church said, amen. I want to see an amen in the comment section. Put amen in the comment section. I'm going to spend some time next week, really breaking down this prayer, because I think it gives us a glimpse into our God, who He Himself is better than expected. But I studied this out. I said, you know what? Paul can pray this prayer because he understood that God was able. He was able to accomplish infinitely more than we may ask or imagine. And as amazing as this ask is, did you think about this ask, right? This ask for us to be empowered with inner strength, to have Christ make His home in our hearts, for us to be rooted in Christ's love, for us to have the power to understand and experience the love of Christ, and to be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. As amazing as this ask is, Paul understood that his God was able to do even more than that, able to exceed even his expectations. He understood that his God specializes in better than expected. Now, he understood that because he lived it. And so did everyone else that came in contact with the Son of God. Everyone that was able to experience Christ and experience His life, His death, and His resurrection, which is what we're celebrating today. Now, let me just say this. While we may take it for granted and minimize it to, hey, it's just a church service. We go to church, we get dressed up, we have Easter brunch or whatever it may be. I want you to understand a little bit of what was going on when it actually happened. I want you to understand that nobody really expected Jesus to rise from the dead. We see it in the past, right? No, they didn't. When they were looking forward, they didn't expect this to happen. Not the religious leaders or the Roman government or even his best friends. Actually, let me take that back. The religious leaders actually did remember that Jesus said he was going to die and then raise again on the third day. So what they did, they went to the Roman government, they told Pilate, and the governor said, you know what, let's make sure that, because what they thought would happen, not that he would rise from the dead, they thought that his disciples would go and steal the body. And so Pilate said, make that tomb as secure as you know how. That's what the scriptures say. And so they sealed that tomb. And they put guards there to protect the body just in case the disciples wanted to steal the body and say that Jesus resurrected. So still, nobody expected Jesus to really rise from the dead. Nobody was waiting in expectation. There weren't crowds by the tomb, like counting down for the third day. 10, 9, 8. No, it wasn't. That was not happening. There was no paparazzi there. There was nobody was going live from the graveyard. What they expected was an end to an era, an end to a movement. And guess what? Disappointment started knocking on the door. Now, what were his family and friends doing? Well, his devoted disciples, they were probably doing what everybody else does when somebody passes away, right? They were going through the funeral rituals and traditions, right? And they probably had a repast, and they were probably comforting each other, maybe, you know, joking around, some funny times, funny stories about Jesus, trying to celebrate his life. I'm sure somebody was like thinking about, hey, did Jesus leave an inheritance? You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, who's going to get like the sandals, or who's going to get, you know what I mean? Like, didn't he have a little savings? Like, you know how we get. There's some type of drama that was going on behind the scenes. That's really probably what was happening from the moment he passed until Sunday morning came. And some decided to go to the gravesite that Sunday morning. Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. You see, they started their day very early in the morning in grief, on a trip to anoint the body of Jesus. And they found that the stone was rolled away, and they look in and they can't find the body. So they're perplexed, wondering what is going on. And then two angels appear with like shining as bright as lightning, and they start talking to them, and they're like, he's not here. He's risen. Remember what he told y'all that this would happen? And they're like, oh yeah, Mary, you remember when he said, yeah, he said that. So they start thinking, I'm like, oh, okay, they remember. They're like, oh my gosh, we got to go tell the others. We got to go to the house. We got to go tell Peter and them and John and the other disciples, like, he's risen. Like, what he said was going to happen actually happened. And so they go to the house, they knock on the door, and they walk in. I can see them now, trying to figure out how they're going to break the news, you know, because it's kind of a crazy story, you know, if you think about it. And so they're looking at each other, you know, awkwardly, like, who's going to say, is it Mary? Is it Joanna? Who's going to say what happened? All of a sudden, Peter's like, yo, like, how was your trip to the tomb? And they look at each other and they're like, it was actually better than expected. You won't believe it. Like, we got there, we had all the spices, right? Just like we had talked about, because we were going to anoint the body. Y'all know that. But what happened was, when we got there, like, the stone was rolled away. And remember, they had sealed it. And I don't even know where the guards were, but we walked straight in, y'all. He wasn't there. And then, y'all ain't gonna believe this, we saw angels, man. And then and those angels were the ones that reminded us, like, what he had said. And so I think that really happened, what he said was gonna happen. And they were like, nah, this ain't real. Except for Peter. And Peter decided, I got to go see it for myself. And Peter's like, okay. And so he runs to the tomb and he goes, checks it out. And he sees strips of linen lying there. Jesus ain't lying there, but his linen was. And so he's like perplexed, like, what is going on? I love this. Those women, they set out in grief, but they returned in glory. Even though nobody believed them, they were so excited about what was happening. Peter went and he had to ask himself, is this better than expected, or is this too good to be true? My question to us today is, which group are you going to belong to? The women who believe and experience better than expected, or the group of people that say, nah, this is too good to be true? The people that doubt and miss out. It breaks my heart. Some of us will never experience better than expected because of our past disappointments, our failures, even the trauma that we've been through. We see the possibilities, but those things that have happened in our lives, they are louder than our faith, right? And so those things start talking and they say, nah, this is too good to be true. You call it being jaded. God sees it as hopelessness. But I'm here to tell you today that your past doesn't have to determine your future. Your past doesn't have to control what's going to happen moving forward. You have a chance today to break free from that and choose to have faith. Because let me tell you, if we're going to make the most of this gift called life, we're going to have to live by faith. And I'm not just talking about a blind faith where we act like everything's rosy and peaches and everything's happy. No, we have to face the facts of life with faith. We got to be able to look at darkness and see light. We got to be able to look at death and see life. Yes, life. It's hard. Yes, you've lost somebody that you love. Yes, there's drama in your family. Yes, you've done things you never thought you would do. Yes, you've looked for the living among the dead, looked for life in the sin that only brings death. Yes, I understand. There are financial challenges and relationship challenges and lack of relationship challenges. I get it. Yes, you've been hurt, betrayed, abandoned. Yes, there's war and there's injustice and police brutality and senseless violence. And yes, there's addiction. Yes, life is hard. And yes, God is good. Actually, if you seek him, you'll find that he's not just good, he's better than expected. You'll find a father who is able to give us the faith we need to look at darkness and see light, to look at death and see life. Satan, on the other hand, he wants you to doubt and miss out. God wants the resurrection to help you believe in better than expected, because we understand that he is able to do immeasurably more, infinitely more than all we can ask or imagine. Now, some of us were looking at our situations and asking God for the bare minimum. We're not even imagining. We're settling for the grave when we can experience his glory. We're like, Lord, help me have a good time as I go over to this grave. God, I just pray that you keep me safe and healthy on this path. Lord, you know, and please, I just want to make sure I have enough spices for this body, God, because I would hate to run out of spices when we get there. And, you know, it's going to be tough. And all the while, Jesus ain't even there, y'all. He is risen. Don't settle for the grave when you can experience God's glory. What's your ideal? Stop thinking bare minimum. What's your ideal? What's your ideal situation? What's your ideal hope? What's your ideal ideas of what your life will look like? What do you ask God? What do you ask of the God who can do infinitely more than you could ask for? You understand that? We have the ability to ask of God, the God that has the ability to do even more than we ask for. So what do you ask that God? What do you ask our God? Now, I remembered last year's Easter sermon, and I remembered how I shared with you about how we were still renovating the building and waiting to get in the building, but we were already dreaming about what God would do even across the street at the school, the G.A. Towns Elementary School that had no longer had kids there. And we were like dreaming and praying about, man, if we can use that for a community center. And God had just put that on our hearts. And then we met Kenny Hill, and he introduced us to the coalition of community leaders who were already working on that, right? And we started building a relationship with him. But now, a year later, I'm here to tell you that that happened. Just a couple of weeks ago, we celebrated a ribbon cutting ceremony at the school, because another partner came along, Rebuilding Together Atlanta, and they brought Republic Services along, who had a grant to be able to, they wanted to redo outdoor space in our community. And so we used that money and we built a nice pergola with grills and a garden for the kids in the neighborhood. It happened in less than a year since I had preached about it, just a simple dream. And now I'm thinking, okay, God, we're here, we're in the building now. And I remembered this past week, I remembered about this list I had written down when we were going through the book, The Circle Maker, this Impossible Prayers. And one of those prayers is to start 100 churches or campuses. And I'm like, you know what? Why not? We got introduced to an organization that wants to start 100 schools in 10 years. And I'm like, yo, if they can start 100 schools, we can start 100 churches. Like, why not? That's my ideal. What's yours? Don't settle for the grave when you can experience his glory. Now, I understand for you, it may be something a little more personal. Maybe your ideal is something like being able to have children, or for your child to be healthy or healed, or for your child to find salvation. Maybe your ideal is to be in a financial situation and a position to provide for your family and be able to serve others, right? Maybe your ideal is to reconcile a relationship or to find freedom from addiction. What's your ideal? Don't settle for the grave when you can experience His glory. All of us have situations right now that are uncertain. We don't know how it's going to work out or even if it's going to work out in the first place. But don't you remember how He told you that all things work out for the good of those who love Him? Don't you remember how He says that all things work out according to God's plan? Oh, that's right. Yeah, He did say that. The question is, have you surrendered to His plan, right? Because you can't expect better if you're not willing to be better and do better. It's when we surrender and commit our lives to following Jesus that we can start to expect better, because it's no longer about us, our strength, our power, or our lack thereof. It's about who we're walking with and His strength and His power and His love. Now, listen, as we close out here, I got to be real with you. Nobody liked God's plan back then. Nobody liked it. Nobody liked the plan that Jesus would die. Jesus even struggled with it in the Garden of Gethsemane. He struggled. But without His sacrifice, there would be no forgiveness of sin, right? Without His resurrection, there is no hope for eternal life for us. So His plan was, is, and always will be better than expected. As we get ready to take communion, I want to encourage us to make a decision today to surrender and commit our lives to Jesus. And maybe it's a small step like, hey, I just asking for help. Like, DM us. Like, if you know a disciple, like, ask them, like, hey, I'm just trying to get help. Or maybe it's just signing up for this journey class that we're starting next week. And it's a group study series, right? Where you can come along a group of people. Maybe it's as simple and easy as that. Or maybe it's a big decision, like deciding to get baptized. Some of us have been studying the Bible on this journey with Jesus. We've been counting the cost, but we have yet to take that leap of faith, the plunge of faith into the waters of baptism. Maybe, hey, today is the day. There's no day like today. Regardless, today is the day to deliver this eviction notice, right? To disappointment, to doubt and despair. They've been living in your heart rent-free for way too long. It's time. They got to go, y'all. It's time for them to go. And it's time to open the door and let Christ make His home in our hearts. And don't worry, you don't got to clean up before He gets there. He's cool with it. Just let Him in. He'll help you clean up. He'll actually help you renovate the whole place. He'll move in as is and make it even better. Tell him He can bring His friends, gratitude, joy, hope. Let me tell you, those are some great tenets. Let me tell you. And while you're at it, tell Satan that Jesus bought the place, that it's not his heart anymore. It's yours. Jesus bought it with His blood. All right, let's go ahead and pray for our communion. Father, we love You and we thank You for this moment to pray to You. We thank You for Jesus Christ. We thank You for Your plan that was perfect, that was better than expected, God. And we know You have a plan for our lives, and in moments where it doesn't feel good, where it hurts, God, help us to trust in Your plan, to trust that it's going to turn out better than expected, because You are a Father who loves us, who is right, who is true, who cares about us, our well-being, and our eternal life. Help us to remember that and help us to make a decision today that we're going to focus on the gifts that You've given us, that we're going to focus on the good that You've given us, and we're going to focus on the fact that You can work everything out for our good. Thank You for Jesus. Thank You for His love, His sacrifice, and thank You so much for His resurrection so that we too can raise to new life. It's in His name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.